T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Spadoni now on the board. I asked him to give me some Too Short ghetto instrumental. He delivers in just 40 seconds. Gotta love JoJo here on the board. I heard that over the weekend. Yeah, I was just riding in the Charger, in the Batmobile over the weekend, just feeling it. Feeling it, Shasky, as you look perplexed there on Zoom. Derek the Guru Johnson in the building. Sean Manaea will join us at 1 o'clock to talk some A's baseball and what's going on in their training camp. Spring training 2.0 at the Cali. I guess that's what they call it now, the Cali. So we'll talk about some A's baseball and Sean Manaea on what they're doing over there. But you guys got my juices flowing on football and Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo and going revisiting that game in Week 17 up there in Seattle. And, you know, Shasky, you're right. That game shouldn't have been close. You look at the numbers, and we remember Jimmy Garoppolo starting on fire. He was just on fire, 18-22, 285 yards. Debo Samuel was showing out and showing off in the all-white uniforms, and it came down to an inch. And that's just how close this division is. And a move like Jamal Adams or Antonio Brown can tilt the powers back up to the Pacific Northwest. You know Seattle's hungry. However, no Clowney there, who dominated that first game at Levi's Stadium. Guru, I'm just getting excited just thinking about the great quarterback play we're going to see in the NFC West. Great play. And I'll ask you guys right now just a simple question. Is the NFC West the best division in football right now?
Man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I want to say it is, but I feel biased when I say that because I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to be this year. I look at that division and top to bottom, that's a pretty good division. You know, I mean, Cleveland as the
they got to do their part. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They've got a lot of talent. Cleveland's roster,
I would say,
through 53 is ridiculous. I agree. I don't trust the coach. I don't really like Baker Mayfield. I know that's Bonte's guy. I never really liked him. Division's really good. That division's really good. I mean, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that's a tough division.
Cincinnati stinks. Cincinnati stinks. The worst team in the NFC, or excuse me, Guru, the worst team in the AFC North. You think about the Rams, they may be the worst team in the NFC West, and the Rams have talent, Guru.
They were in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago, and their guy, McVay, was Kyle Shanahan. He was the young, hot guy, the innovator, had the beard, good looks, young, offense galore, offensive guru. And what happened? He had a worse year after losing the Super Bowl, so there are no guarantees. But one thing about that Seattle game, it's kind of reminiscent of the Super Bowl. The Niners defense was stopping, you know, the Chiefs, but yet they couldn't put enough points on the board to get that lead that the defense deserved. And I know it's football. They're trying to keep you out of the end zone. But Shasky and Bonte, am I off saying maybe we're seeing a trend to where when the Niners defense is dominant or doing their thing, maybe we see the Niners offense get 3 when they should get 7. We see that they take field goals more than they ought to. And I guess where I'm going is you can ill afford to lose a weapon on offense at this juncture, being that you lost Debo for how long, we don't know. So hell no, can you let Mostert go? But I'm starting to think, and I'm not blaming Jimmy, when you talk about not being able to get it in, you know, it's not just on him is what I'm saying.
Back up the truck. Yeah. Back up the truck.
No, I didn't even – I'm not even –
Didn't they average 30-something points a game this year? Like,
they average 30 a game.
I'm going to say this to you two on that.
But what?
Numbers do lie sometimes.
And what's
had
lying?
You watched that? Did you watch that offense and say this was the best offense in football? I'm asking you. We saw what happened. Did you ever watch? How many games did you watch where you said, I'm watching the best offense or a top five offense in football from a Niner perspective? And that's what I'm saying. So when you say 30 points a game, yeah, that's how they got there, but they were getting chance and chance again because the defense was so stifling. My point is, the offense has got to be better for this team to accomplish his ultimate goal, man.
Every year is different, and your team is going to have strengths and weaknesses that kind of change a little from year to year. You know, like that happens. Personnel changes. Your coaching staff changes a little. I expect Jimmy to grow this year. I know everyone thinks I'm like this Jimmy hater. I'm not a Jimmy hater. I think so highly of Jimmy that I am critical. Do you hear me say anything about Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard? You know why? Because they stink. All right? And I don't think very much of them.
You don't disrespect Jimmy, though. You don't disrespect him.
No, I don't disrespect Jimmy. I like
Jimmy.
You're
not sold, Jimmy. Yeah.
Well, it's not that they're not sold. It's just his decision-making needs to get a little bit better. That's all. I think he's really good. He's got a lot of the touch, the anticipation, the toughness, the accuracy, the leadership, everything you're looking for in a quarterback. I'm a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan. Preach. That's why I hold him to such a high standard.
Jimmy.
Because I really think that last year was an opportunity where it's different because most of the times when your quarterback's on the come up, your team isn't as good as where the 49ers were last year. Last year, the defense was better than what anyone could have anticipated. That was a championship caliber defense.
Right.
And they just ran up against a buzzsaw on Patrick Mahomes. Otherwise, Jimmy Garoppolo would have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
But they had the ball last. They were scoring. Did you? Can I just ask you two real quick? I thought they were scoring, Bonte.
Well,
and they got
what?
To the 50. I was like, this is a wrap. Not talking Sorant. You're right.
Team-wide failure.
And I'm not blaming Jimmy. I just thought that, 30 points a game, I was like, they're about to come back and get this touchdown and win the Super Bowl.
First and 10 at the 49-yard line, a minute 49 and three timeouts.
Man.
I just don't know why Shanahan went away from the running game at that point. Because this is how I looked at that situation to this day. Say if Emmanuel Sanders does catch that long bomb by Jimmy Garoppolo and he's accurate. Well, there was still about a minute 30 left. The Niners defense was gassed. They were absolutely gassed.
No doubt.
And there's no guarantee that they're going to stop Patrick Mahomes and company from winning the Super Bowl. So my thought process was run the ball a little bit, make Kansas City use some timeouts, and bleed some clock. I want to make sure that in this Super Bowl, we're going to have the ball last. I don't want Kansas City, because we talked about this, Guru. Steiny asked a question, what would you rather have? Jimmy Garoppolo with the ball in his hands behind, or the defense on the field trying to shut down the Kansas City Chiefs from quarter to touch. And I was like,
that's a tough question.
It's a tough question.
That's a flip of the coin.
But I was saying, give me Jimmy G because this offense did average 30 points a game. When you look at all every single game of the season, right? Every game. There's a lot of games where Jimmy Garoppolo and the offense didn't play in the fourth quarter because they were blowing people out. At one point, they had the strongest running game in the league. At one point, their two tackles get hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo has to throw the football.
And
well, guess what? He throws a football, and they win the football game. And they throw, Kyle Juszczyk, forgot all about him. Kittle, the two tackles. Center. I mean, Weston Richburg, you name it. They did what they had to do to win football games, and they scored a lot of points, Guru. So averaging 30 points in a game last season, second in the NFL. I thought, yes, this is a top five offense because everybody else told me you got Shanahan. He is walking on water as a play caller. You have Shanahan. You have this offense humming with all the injuries. I did think, Guru, that they were a top five offense last year.
Did you guys – okay. Guru, I want to ask you specifically because you always reference the Emmanuel Sanders play. Had they connected on the George Kittle play before halftime, would you – and the same thing played itself out where he just missed a throw against Emmanuel Sanders and they lose anyway. Are you looking at Jimmy any different?
Yeah, I am. And it's not – just real quick. I am because it's like Mad Bum in the postseason. There was an opportunity. There was a pass. Some guys never get the opportunity to make this pass, a window butch, and he delivered when it was clutch. He didn't. I'm not saying he can't get there, but I would have loved to. He would have been invincible in regard to that's why the Niners lost or people coming down his road. It would have been like I stepped up and delivered. And, Bonte, just real quick, my last thing for you, and I know I'm being redundant. I understand the 30 points a game. I'm not taking anything away from anybody, but do understand that Niner offense got more opportunity than a lot of other offenses that got to be perfect when they got a leaky-ass defense and only get the ball a certain a few times. So
I hear you.
That's all I'm saying, Shasky.
But the great teams play complimentary football. That's no, that's what the great teams do. They feed off of each other. And I just think we've myself included, we've disproportionately put too much emphasis on the one throw to Emmanuel Sanders. And if you just go back and watch the entire game, that throw he made to Kittle before halftime, it's criminal that they call that an OPI. That was one of the greatest throws in Jimmy Garoppolo's career. That was a dime.
Wow.
He threw that thing 60 yards down the field, and only Kittle was making that play. That was a ridiculous throw by Jimmy.
Oh, it was a ridiculous throw. And you know what I'll say to that, Shasky? I went ballistic in the studio, Guru, when they didn't call timeout. Because I think about it like this. Scared money don't make money. This
and
is the Super Bowl.
That's all I've been saying.
Kyle Shanahan, you know what? Show that you have some trust in Jimmy Garoppolo and let him go out there and run a two-minute drill. The fact that they let the clock run down, they didn't give themselves an opportunity. Sure, there was a margin of error there. George Kittle catches the pass. You would have kicked the field goal. It's 13-10. But my thought process was, go score a touchdown. You get the ball to start the second half, you could put this game on ice. You put the game on ice, scored up two touchdowns, and shutting down the Chiefs. So, look, I think we focus too much on Jimmy Garoppolo and the one throw to Emmanuel Sanders. And we don't focus enough on Kyle Shanahan's game management. You could say in every single game the Niners lost last year, including the Super Bowl, there was question marks about Kyle Shanahan's game management, starting with Seattle on Monday Night Football. Did he throw the ball three straight times in overtime? I thought it was the right play calling, especially if Dante Pettis catches a second down pass. The Baltimore game, the end of the first half, the game management there, the end of the game with the game management and Raheem Mostert. Every single game the Niners lost last year, there were question marks about Kyle Shanahan's game management.
Okay, I agree with you. Kyle's not a perfect coach, and he needs to grow. There are certain areas. Clock management is absolutely one of them.
Situational. And
discernment, like not getting too into your own arrogance early in games where you have to force trying to do certain things. Like they got away from that jet sweep with Debo in the Super Bowl. They were getting anything they wanted. They didn't give the ball to Raheem Mostert until the second quarter,
the second
10
quarter.
Or 11 minutes to go.
Right.
I mean, that's way too late. I want to ask you specifically on Jimmy Garoppolo because you think that you're leading the Jimmy Garoppolo bandwagon, which is fine. I'm just curious,
conductor.
I'm asking you, what do you really think that he needs to get better at?
Oh, it's decision-making. It's decision-making. He has the Jimmy O'Dell throws.
That's a big deal.
And that's the thing. Guru knows I said that last year. It's like, oh, no, you're going to have a Jimmy O'Dell throw. You're going to have a couple of those a game. Can you live through it? The Niners lived through it last year. He's got to get better with decision-making. And also think he needs a little more confidence in that knee. I didn't see Jimmy Garoppolo scramble as much as I would like last year. Extending plays. That's the next evolution of his game.
He's
extending plays and running some more boot action with Jimmy Garoppolo. Extend some plays, have some more confidence in that knee, and it's a decision-making, no doubt about it. I think he lost trust in some of the receivers, to be honest with you. He does trust Kendrick Bourne. We know that. He trusts Debo Samuel. But I thought he lost trust in Dante Pettis. He lost trust in Richie James Jr. for whatever reason. Decision-making, extending plays, and having more trust in his receiving core, I think is the next step in the next phase for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Guru, what about you? What do you think he needs to work on?
Secondary or second and third reads. Like I think he knows who he's throwing to before he hikes the ball, and that gives the advantage to the defense. And we saw it in Minnesota. And again, nobody's perfect. He threw one pick; it should have been two. I just think he needs to, you know, Bonte tap into that Joe Montana. And you may say, you know what? I don't see that, Goo. I don't agree with you. But I think those Jimmy Ono throws come from that. Like he's got his mind made up. And I'll say this about Kyle Shanahan and the 30 points a game. It kind of went to there's a thing in sports to where you give too much respect. And I'll leave this last one for this year and the Super Bowl at halftime. I believe Kyle Shanahan respected the Chiefs offense too much by not letting your offense be all they could be. And that bothered me.
So Bonte, what constitutes success? Forget the Niners record. Jimmy Garoppolo. How are you going to define success for Jimmy Garoppolo this upcoming season? Or is it just record? Maybe I shouldn't say that.
You know, the old adage, and I don't want to sound redundant here, but we give too much credit to the quarterback when they win. We give too much criticism to the quarterback when they lose. Success for this football team. How can it not be Super Bowl or bust coming off of last season? It's just the way it is.
It ain't fair, but it's real.
It's not fair. And look, they may have a worse record. I don't see them going 13-3 because there were so many 50-50 games, Shasky. So many 50-50 games that we saw last year. But they had to get back. They had to get deep into the playoffs. And Jimmy Garoppolo has to show that he can extend plays, that he can be the guy here in San Francisco. Cut back on the interceptions. You know, he had 13 last year. Cut it back down to 8, 7. That's progress for Jimmy Garoppolo. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, I want to see him break the 4,000-yard mark this year. But I think the realistic number is 30 to 33 touchdowns. I think he's going to get that this year. I think he got called back, what, 4 or 5 off the top of my head, touchdowns in the red zone that got called back because of weird penalties, weird situations. The Buccaneers game comes to mind. Like they, right. A couple in just that one alone.
Yeah.
And I want to see him shave a couple of interceptions. So for me, I want to see like a 33-11. 33-12 season. That would be an awesome year. Eclipse 4,000 yards passing because I don't think he's going to throw for 5,000. That's just go over 4,000 this year. Be efficient. Be just enough of a threat. Run off that play action. But boost up that touchdown number because a 49er quarterback hasn't broken 30 since Garcia. I mean, that would be a great number to eclipse.
And I should know this. I'm talking to, especially with producer Kyle in the mix, three biggest Niner guys. Does Jimmy have the ability to audible at the line of scrimmage?
I'm not sure.
So.
That's a great question.
So.
See, the fact that we don't know that, like Russell can, Tom can, you know what I mean?
That's experience, though.
No,
that's experience.
Shanahan. Yeah. Shanahan's rigid.
See,
Shanahan doesn't want
that's
people
too rigid,
playing
though.
With this stuff.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point. And that's a good point.
I want the quarterback to be able to trust, you know, trust him.
And think about this. Last year, you're bringing up the numbers, Shasky, and I do think Jimmy threw 27 touchdown passes last
year. I know.
3,978 yards. I was just thinking about it like this. He sat out in the fourth quarter against Cincinnati. He sat out in the fourth quarter against Cleveland. He sat out in the fourth quarter against Carolina. The first Rams game, they didn't throw the ball at all in the second half.
Washington was pouring rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
9-0.
And you know what? When Jimmy threw that interception against Washington, when it was money time, Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe, completed 6 straight passes when they needed to go for the win. And they did that. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't. So he could easily eclipse the 30-touchdown mark. He could easily eclipse the 4,000-yard passing mark. I think they were just blowing people out, so he didn't get those numbers in what was essentially a run-first offense. Let's not forget that, fellas. It was a run-first offense, so look, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk football. It's going to be a lot of fun this season with the Niners bouncing back from a Super Bowl loss. Where would they be? And it all starts at week one. Let's just be honest. Go time week one against Arizona. And that's a game that is scaring the hell out of me because we were just talking about quarterbacks last segment. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray the next quarterback here in his second year? Do you think about the last 2 years real quick? Patrick Mahomes in his second year, he wins an MVP award. Lamar Jackson in his second year, he wins an MVP award. Where's Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals going to be? Where do they factor into the equation out west here in the NFC?
I don't think their defense is good enough at this point for them to play balanced football. I think he's going to be chasing in a lot of games. I don't know about their run game, although Kenyon Drake had a nice end of the season. I think Raheem Mostert and him had very, very comparable numbers when it was all said and done. I don't know. I don't know what to make of Arizona this year. I got to see him and DeAndre Hopkins. I love the DeAndre Hopkins pickup for them. And I just love Kyler Murray. Like I'm a big fan of Kyler. It might take a couple years, though, for him to become seasoned. I think he's in a very weird spot. Cliff Kingsbury isn't what I would consider an elite head coach yet. I think he's still learning on the job. I don't know, but he's a great player. He's absolutely on my top, like, gotta watch him list. I love watching that kid play. I just don't know. I think they're at least a year away from being what you think they're going to be, Bonte.
And I'll say this. They didn't make the playoffs, but for Kyler Murray, they went to the Super Bowl in regard to experience, the experience he got. And if you watch the Arizona, Bonte, you told me to watch them. They were making progress. They gave the Niners all that and some. And now, Shasky, you're giving them arguably the best receiver in football. So it was almost a godsend that he played without Hopkins. And now he'll be able to know the difference when you got him on the outside and what the defense can't do now because they need to be worried about not Fitzgerald, who's running, and I love him, with a piano on his back. You got a game changer. Dude, they're going to be scary. And the offense, to me, is built around Kyler. So him and they got history, man. Cool. I just think it's everything's going in the right direction, per se. You still got to do it, but, man, it looks sexy.
If you look at just, like, who the NFC West plays this year, they get your division, Guru. They get the East, and then they get the AFC
least right now,
So I don't know when the Cardinals go back East for some of these road games, but if it's in the snow and it's cold, then the passing game might get mitigated. Like, again, that there's little things that we just don't know at this point right now with Arizona. I still don't think that they're I don't think they're one of the top playoff teams in the NFC. I think it's going to be a real crowded list. I'm getting back to the Niners, though, guys. Do you think that realistically the goal should be to get that first round bye? There's only one. Is it this year there's only one?
It's only one. Yeah, that's this year. So that's this year.
All right, so is that the goal? Because for me, that's the goal. I want that bye.
Well, I do think that's the goal, but keep in mind, last year, they had a bye week after week three. After the Pittsburgh game, it was really early. And then they had the gauntlet the last six games. They got the bye, which they really, really needed. This year, I believe their bye is around week 10 or week 11 or something like that. And the last four of the last five games for the Niners, they're all in the Pacific time zone. So, yes, if you could get the bye week, and the only game you got to go outside the Pacific time zone is to go down to Dallas in week number 15 on Sunday Night Football. Getting that bye week.
The coffin game.
The
coffin game, Guru.
I think Dak will be benched.
Yeah,
I think he'll be benched. Andy Dalton, good luck with that. So I do think the goal should be the bye. Just think about how hard it is. Just think about how hard it is to go to the Super Bowl without a bye week. Just think about it. It is tough, man. It is tough.
Sanders almost did it. I mean, he basically played every single week and then got that, obviously, the wild card round off. But that's what Emmanuel Sanders did last year. It was incredible.
Yeah. Do you think Mostert's agent got in his ear after Debo got hurt? Like, man, they're really going to need you now more so than ever. Because we don't know what receiver is going to benefit from Samuels if he does miss some time. Most likely he's going to. But I wonder if the agent was like, hey, man, they're really going to need you now. Go ahead, let's do this. Go public. Get this chicken.
NFC Championship game.
It had to play a part.
NFC Championship game. He was blowing into his ear. Come on, man. How could you have not been?
But he only had 12 carries in the Super Bowl, man. That's strange.
Yeah, I think that's on Shanahan. That's on Shanahan. I think he outthunked the Super Bowl.
Man.
I really do. I think Shanahan didn't have his best day at the office in Super Bowl number 54. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Bay Alarm. Fellas, let's talk about the bubble here. We got news about Russell Westbrook before he entered the bubble. He tested positive for COVID-19. But let's talk about the teams right now in the bubble, and we'll play some sound from Jay Williams. I want you guys to listen to this. Jay Williams speaking some truth, believe it or not. Like Joe Spadoni said in our group chat yesterday, a broken clock is right twice a day. And hey, it was Jay Will's lucky day, man, because he was spot on with what he had to say about the Orlando bubble. We'll get to that coming up here on BSG, and it's all sponsored by Bay Alarm. When it comes to looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like professionally monitored video verification, proven to catch crooks and prevent false alarms. Because if your security is not the best, you're not secure. Now, more than ever, Bay Alarm.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570. What is a success for the 49ers in the 2020 season? Is it a one seed? It is a Super Bowl appearance, a Super Bowl win? Is it playoffs or bust? 888-957-9570. Want to hear from Niner fans about that one. But I do want to talk about the bubble, fellas. And we were talking about this a little last night as the NBA has transitioned to Orlando, as we see teams now practicing within the bubble. Media members have arrived there. We see many players tweet about the food, tweet about the amenities. Is it right for these NBA players who are used to the Ritz-Carlton and five-star dinners and Michelin-star restaurants? How do you guys feel about them basically nitpicking at the food and nitpicking about the environment down in Orlando?
It's just a horrible look. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible look. There are 44 million Americans, depending on what publication you're reading, that are unemployed right now. All right. A third of America did not make their mortgage or rent payment in the last month. And NBA players are posting photos of food and saying it's not like, you know, they're basically shaming. They're food shaming some of the dishes.
It's not the Ritz-Carlton,
I mean, look, it's like, come on, guys, read the room. All right. You're getting paid. All right. I know it's not the most luxurious hotel in the world, but like, just read the room a little. Don't hammer it down everybody's throats, because at the end of the day, who's the consumer? Well, it's the common person, the common fan. And who knows what their lifestyle is like right now? And for you to post that on social media, it just shows how just out of touch some of these guys are. And again, I'm not outraged. It's just such a bad look.
And you know what? I'm not outraged either, fellas, but Chesky, I'm disappointed. And I'm disappointed in myself. And let me tell you why. And I'll go back to Daniel Snyder real quick to take it off the wagon. There were years where he was getting pressure to change the name, and I felt like this is beyond him. It wasn't an issue. Or I guess it was. It wasn't as big when he bought the team. So don't make it seem like he doesn't want to buy the team, change the name. But what I've learned with saying all that during this pandemic is something offends one person, that's enough. And that's where I've grown, Chesky and Bonte. If it offends one party, that's enough right there. And I just was having fun. I was retweeting when they showed, you know, the sandwiches or what the players were having. It didn't once dawn on me how numb and inconsiderate that looked to regular people during these times with what they have going on. Oh, the athletes can't get the Ritz-Carlton service. They'll be okay. Their families are okay. And I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't check or catch myself like Jay Williams did. And when he said it, he was talking to me to a degree because I was in there like, oh, Chesky, not worried about the Johnson household. I'm worried about what these millionaires are doing on the road. Guess what, Chesky and Bonte, they're working. They'll be fine, and they're eating. A lot of people, like you just said, Chesky, are without. So shame on me for even participating in the laughs when nobody should be laughing, Bonte.
Well, since you brought up Jay Williams, Guru, I'm glad you did. Let's hear from Jay Williams, who posted this on Twitter talking about some of these NBA players, basically showing how ungrateful they are for the services they are provided inside that billion-dollar bubble. Here's Jay Will from ESPN, former NBA player, on what these players are doing down in Orlando.
NBA players cannot be tone-deaf. My NBA brothers, you cannot be tone-deaf right now in this current environment. We all know the life that NBA players live. You are blessed. Get a chance to be in private planes. You get a chance to have millions of dollars in your bank account. You live a different level of life. But that is drastically different than what real, everyday working Americans are going through right now. Now, you're in a billion-dollar bubble. If you want to complain about the anxieties you have from COVID-related issues, I get it. Complain about that. We all have the right to complain about that. But when I hear NBA guys complaining about living facilities, food that they have being delivered to them, it is tone deaf. It is tone deaf. I want you to think about people who are everyday working people who are making minimum wage, trying to make ends meet, that are going to factories, that are going to really harsh working environments, where if anything, maybe their employers are doing less to ensure their safety because they're trying to increase the bottom line. They're trying to earn and make money back from all the money that they have lost through the times that a lot of these states individually governed have been dealing with this issue. So when I see guys that are going into a billion dollar bubble, and are getting food delivered to them, that have beds to sleep in, you can't complain about that. Not while you're making millions of dollars. Not while your employer is going through drastic measures to protect you while they're still paying you. When that's not the case for everyday, real working Americans. That bothers me. That bothers me. Now, I don't know if individual teams and their PR team, public relations teams are working with these guys, but they have to. The league has to. Because some of this stuff just leaking out and guys just having a lot of free time and just posting this stuff, it's not the right look for the league right now. Not while they're trying to focus on finishing the season and allowing a lot of other players to earn the amount of money that they're able to earn. It's tone deaf. It's tone deaf.
You know,
wow. Jay Will. I'm not the biggest Jay Will fan here.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
But I think that was spot on here. Spot on. And Chesky, you just said something on the group chat that I see here on Twitter. So we'll get that in just a second. Just a reaction to Jay Will, though.
Yeah, you know, I think he hit a bunch of things right on the head here. And one of the things that I think, not a misnomer, but there's this the NBA players are not having it's not you have to play or else. It's, hey, if you don't want to play, you don't have to play. Trevor Ariza decided that he would opt out, right? So that being said, a lot of these guys have made the compartmentalization in their own brain. Hey, if I want to get compensated and get paid, I'm going to have to do this, right? So they've admitted on the front end that they would like to have their money, and they're going to have to obviously perform their service to get paid. But all of the circumstances around it are much safer, given all the testing and all the protocols, than what an employee at Home Depot is going through right now, or an employee at McDonald's or Burger King, or, you know, pick the retail outlet where someone is working there every single day indoors and people are coming in with their masks. So I'm not trying to, like, weigh whose is more severe. What I'm just saying, like, guys, you're getting compensated. You're getting housed. You're getting fed. Yes, it's not luxurious, but my goodness, like, it's just a really, really bad look when there's 40 million Americans struggling to make it right now. And then that doesn't even factor in all the people who have to stay home because they have to watch their kids. Like, think about that. Think of how many people that you guys are friends with right now who've got multiple kids, and someone's got to stay home with those kids because they have no other family member. They can't afford babysitting, whatever their circumstances is. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's just like I shook my head and I was like, come on, Rondo. Like, really? Like, come on, man. Wow. Can you read the room?
Yeah. And Jay said it. And even if you have preconceived notions, that's a beautiful thing about life. If you don't even like Jay Williams, nobody can argue with what he said there. And there was some videos coming on IG where the players basically were portraying, woe it's me, we're not at the Four Seasons, it's not Baller Central. And Jay just put an end to that, Bonte, because, and you guys both mentioned, a lot of people going through hard times and are without. Nobody wants to hear million-dollar players who had a decision not to participate and go to Orlando talk about the food and the amenities.
Well, right. I think for me, too, the bigger part is no one's saying that they can't have gripes with the food. Right? If you're going to have gripes, keep it internal. That's all I'm saying. Right. Don't tweet it out or don't put it on Insta.
I thought you were going to say wait till Tuesday. Right?
You know what I'm saying? But they have a snitch line for a reason, right? You. I'm sure they probably got people who are their agents from, not agents, but, you know, team representatives from within who that you can address this with. Like, once you blast it out to everyone, I just think that you just, and the word tone deaf was absolutely spot on. And that's the way I would phrase it. It was very tone deaf.
No doubt. Speaking of Rajon Rondo, he's out 6 to 8 weeks for fracturing his right thumb. And he just had a video sparring in his garage boxing. So I wonder if that had something to do with it there. Let's go out to our good friend Rob in San Bruno. Wants to chime in about Jay Williams here on BSNG. What's up, Rob? Good afternoon.
What's going on, man? What's going on, y'all? First off, man, I think it's big deal made out of nothing. We got to understand, man, these NBA players live different lives. Just like it's regular people, just like us, but it's people that live above our means. That I'm complaining about something that a person don't have nothing. Come on, oh, well, I need this, I need that. I don't got that. Why are you complaining? So you can do that all the time. A lot of they're NBA players. They live different lives. I think that was being misconstrued. My thing is this: if Jay Will feels so about that, why the hell are they playing in the first place? It's the real revolution going on. We want basketball and sports. So all the sports can play, but people can't go to jobs. People can't go to work. People can't go to beaches. People can't be with their family. They can't go to funerals, but the athletes get to play. So, Jay Williams, you trying to be this and that, but I don't really feel what you're talking about because no one cares about the people below them. We're only trying to get to where we're trying to get. No one cares about the poor people on the street. So let's not try to be all hunky-dory because the NBA players, that's how they live. You know what I mean? They've been living like that. I don't see the problem.
But Rob, you got to admit it's not a good look to complain. That's what it's the C word. Just don't complain about it right now. That you got to admit, even if you think you are right and you make some valid points, it's not a good look though to the regular folk like you and I.
It's not a good look. But to me, I don't look at them as regular people. So I don't give my life to them. You see what I'm saying? I can tell my
life
I hang around with people. I don't say, well, he got a big Ferrari and this and that. Man, I drive a Buick. You see what I'm saying? So I don't compare my life to what they do. I think people need to just like stay in your lane. When you get to that lane, then you can comment because you don't know if you're making more money, you're spending more money, which means you got more bills, which means more people dependent on you, which means you're more important. You see what I'm saying? So it's a lot that goes with it. I'm just saying, that's not these players. They shouldn't be playing, in my honest opinion. It's a revolution going on, but they're playing, and I think they need to have the best accessory because they're risking their life. They're just putting more money into other people's hands. The money they're making, they're not that money don't mean nothing to the owners. You see what I'm saying? So to me, I just feel like They shouldn't have said it like that, but I don't think we should have on to have – Jay Will shouldn't have had a whole – like, the world not going crazy. Look, the world going crazy, but it's not dead. We ain't dead. We still breathing. We still – it's just – things just change. So people need to relax and stop. Well, I ain't got this. We ain't got what we ain't got. That is what it is. But we got life, so we need to relax and just enjoy it. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for the phone call, Rob. Good hearing from you, buddy.
Hey, the only subtlety that I throw in there is that it, depending on what industry you're in, there's a consumer base, okay? And for the NBA, their consumer base is the common fan. Like, that's who's tuning in on television. That's right. Who's clicking on social media. Those are the people that are, you know, buying the jerseys, things like that. So you do have to appeal and not alienate or turn off your consumer base. That's the only subtlety that I would add to that. And he's made a lot of good points, though.
And, Bonte, real quick, I'll add
this.
Stay
in your lane.
Jay Will did say, you know, if it's not about COVID and you're not, these dudes might be putting on a bunch of false bravado. They probably do have a bunch of anxiety. They're probably nervous, but they're taught to be, you know, warriors or whatnot. So they're not going right on IG Live showing how nervous and scared they really are. So to Jay Will, I would just say, I feel you knocking, but at the end of the day, they might be doing this, Shasky, because that might be just an outlet to deal with the anxiety that they don't want to show everybody on live or whatnot.
So we're getting all serious here. Some of the cool things that I've seen, the fishing. I mean, I didn't know Ben Simmons was into fishing, nor did I know that they would be allowing fishing. Did you know that Josh Hart was into golf? I did not know that Josh Hart was into golf, right?
Paul George and Montrezl Harrell fishing as well. They were catching some big fish out there.
That did surprise me.
When they showed all the different amenities, I didn't know golf and fishing were part of the amenities. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Like, honestly,
that ain't Motel 6.
I'm kind of jealous.
That ain't Motel 6, Monte.
I think the biggest concern that nobody's touching on, well, not until yesterday when an IG bottle basically said a player's already hit her up. And the only player that was following her was Montrezl Harrell. That's the biggest thing. It's like, hey, well, what are they going to do to find love, man? That's it. The IG bottles. Like, who is going to pay off the security guards to sneak some IG bottles into the Orlando bubble? And who's going to use that snitch line saying, hey, you know what? So-and-so's got an IG bottle up in hotel at the Disney Resort.
That's
you may
want to
check in on that. That's the only thing that Stephen A. hit on that, or, even though it's not really our business. Yeah, but that is a concern because these NBA players, it's part of their lifestyle.
Couldn't it be the old school way where someone from an opposing team sends someone to someone's hotel room just to try to get them, you know, up all night?
Right.
Thank you, Gus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know about you two.
Yeah, gazemanship.
Shasky and Bonte, during the Rona, I've been less romantic. I don't know about you two, but I've been thinking about
age,
other
Scoop.
Stuff.
Or maybe you just need a shipment of those blue pills you used to sell.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little help. Yeah.
Hey, Blue Chew, baby. Come on, Goo.
Keep that to
No wonder you're not getting any. Hey, Shasky, no wonder Guru's not getting any Jimmy D's sausages or anything like that. Good Lord. Guru.
I have a wife.
Come on.
Going on 6 days. Yeah. Go ahead.
Too much, bro.
TMI.
What are you
TMI,
doing?
TMI, buddy.
I'm living the life.
I don't think people are tuning in for Guru's sex life.
Well, that was breakfast, Jimmy Dean sausage.
I told you about my big tip, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. All right.
What was the context of that Steiny drop?
Yeah, I don't know.
Steiny finished ninth. He sent out a tweet. Dibley 21st. I know he's feeling good about it. He didn't win, but he beat Dibs.
Was there anyone with a decent Q rating in that entire 40-man crew?
I don't know, Shasky.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear about it all day tomorrow, Guru. We'll hear about this tournament up there.
He'll be in good spirits.
Steiny's game, and he'll be talking about what he did on hole 15 for about 15 minutes. We will be prepared for Steiny coming back tomorrow, everybody. The Office of the Governor of California sent out this tweet a little over 30 minutes ago. And I know, Shasky, you just tweeted this or texted this to the group chat here. Uh-oh. Effective immediately, California is closing some indoor business operations statewide and additional indoor business operations in county. California Public Health are monitoring this list for 3 consecutive days. You can find the updated list on counties at covid19.ca.gov. So basically getting closed is dine-in restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms,
Bars must close all operations. So, I mean, looking at this and seeing California shut down again, people wear your mask, social distance, so we can get out the damn house. I do want to go back to something that somebody brought up a couple months ago with the Niners possibly playing in Glendale, Arizona. Will the state even allow these professional football teams here coming up, or hell, even the Giants or A's to play their games at their stadiums, or are they going to have to travel to a different state?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Wow, every day I go back and forth and end up back, trying to be optimistic, and then I'm slapped in the face with reality. I don't know what to believe. I really don't. I felt in the back of my head like another more severe quarantine, like the original quarantine, is going to come and happen again. But I hope not, because I hope the numbers don't dictate, because that would mean that we're getting worse and worse and worse, which it feels like we are. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I've very few times do I say I have no clue, but I have no clue what's going to happen. I have no idea.
And that's the scary part, and it seems like it's going the other way. And when I gave the COVID-19 scoreboard and the numbers were going down and I thought we made progress and we opened back up, I thought we were down 15 after being down 30. Now it seems like we're down 40, but I do understand what's at stake here, Shasky and Bonte. It's money, it's contracts, it's why these entities are trying to push it through. And I'm just hoping, because when they originally made the announcement they were going to Orlando, the NBA, Adam Silver was getting love and praise or everybody involved because right. The numbers were low then and we understood it. But you can't defy science. You can't beat it, especially without a vaccine. But I'm hoping and I'm praying, fellas. But Shasky, I'm like you. It just fluctuates. And Bonte, you reading that right there, it's like, What's going to change? Because tomorrow's Tuesday.
Well, and look, I know there's a lot of people to be sad for, all right, or have empathy for. If you're a barber or a hairstylist in San Francisco, Your place has been shut down since about March 10th. It's no July, what is it, July 10th, July 13th? What? I don't even know what day
something
it is.
Something like that.
Okay. Like your rent has just been going and going and going, and you've had no revenue, no nothing. Mm. If you can't render your services, then you can't get paid. That's not the only industry. I'm just saying that's just one of them that my heart breaks for these people because my barber, Danny the Barber, right there on Mission and Leo, I've been going to him for 20 years. You know, he was barely making ends meet before this.
Was he able to open up? Wow, Sacramento was
completely shut.
And then now they reversed it.
Everything's been shut. I had one quarantine cut from my niece. She cut my hair in the garage, and
it's looking good today.
Like a soccer cut.
You got some bounce today. I like it.
I'm glad you guys are looking. I'm glad you guys are looking good. You guys definitely have better hair than I do right now. And I'm thinking about my guy Brandon Sabbath over there at Westside Cuts on DeViz. Hasn't been able to cut.
Man.
My guy Alan Meneses just opened up a barbershop with Eshawn. My guy Eshawn, H Street Barbershop, just opened it up. They had the grand opening earlier, late last year. Was thriving. They've had to shut down. Think about that. Opening up a barbershop and then just shutting it down. And it's not just them. It's the hair salons. It's the nail salons. I know my girl she's jonesing for her nails to get done. She hasn't been able to get her nails done. I just feel bad for all these small businesses, man. All these essential businesses that we all need. And, you know, and I've tried to do my part by not getting a haircut, by not going out to barbers. And you know what? I'm hurting for it. I'm hurting. People don't even recognize me on the street anymore because this beard has gotten so long. But It just stinks, man. It stinks.
You can cut the beard yourself, though. For real quick. I know that part, I don't want to like
it. He said they don't recognize the beard.
I mean, come on, man. You got an Amazon account. You can go to Target. You can get yourself some clippers.
You know what?
You should go to Home Depot and get some hedge clippers. That's what you should get.
I'm going to be honest.
A little bigger. Maybe a lawnmower.
Hey, Shasky, let's put the Bonte. You got a nice grade of hair. I saw you on IG Live. You got the natural going. It don't look as bad as you think. Now, if you could use a line and a little scissor, but you look good. I was looking like, look at me letting the locks grow. Okay?
Oh, man.
Nah,
Shasky saw me on the 4th of July. The beard is just out of control right now. You know what? I told myself, until we're able to get out the house and get back to the studio, I'm not getting a haircut. I am not, man. I'm going to ride this quarantine through. So, cast away it is. Get me out of the house. Wear your mask, people, so I can get a damn haircut.
Man, I'm just living the life.
I want a haircut from my regular barber so bad. Right. Like, it's so bad. There's nothing better than getting the razor on the back of the neck, and then they get you all dabbed up. You know what I'm talking about.
It.
There's just pep in your step when you get done up right.
You feel brand new again.
You do. You do.
Every haircut. Tell me you guys don't feel like you're worth $1 million when you walk out that barbershop clean, fresh, on a Friday.
That acting role. Just looking, in everybody's face. I've been there. You go to the bars, all friendly. Let me buy you a drink just because I know I look good. Or I think I do.
All right, boys. Let's table the haircut talk here on 95.7 The Game. We get to Sean Manaea coming up. Pitcher for the Oakland Athletics. The A's are expected to do big things this season. We'll talk to Sean Manaea coming up here on BSNG. Joe Shasky in for Matt Steinmetz, Derek Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.